Yeah. Turn it upside down. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, the drum cage. I thought you meant turn that djembe upside down, spitting it. I'm Wendell. I'm living love by Jesus. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food, which that's getting better, and work, that's getting better, and control, and that's getting better. Yeah, so I've had issues. How about that? I graduated. I'm now in first grade. I've had issues with porn and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. So I've got to take my glasses off so I can see my notes. I do have notes. Right here. We've been talking about self-care. We talked about physical self-care, emotional self-care, mental self-care, and now we're on the fourth one. Next one that will be on self-care will be spiritual self-care. But this is on relational self-care. And, by the way, I know this could be on the podcast, but I'm going to talk about the podcast. Sometimes our podcasts don't always get put up on the website. I was informed they're all up from, like, way back in June all the way up to the current. So we're all up to date. So if you want to listen to them or tell people to listen to them or whatever, they're there. And, also, just a shameless plug, next week we're going to have an interview between me and Karen up front here. So it'll be fun. Be fun. I'm telling her I'm going to ask easy questions. I'm going to sneak some in. So anyway, we're talking about relational self-care tonight. And obviously that is how do you have healthy relationships? And it's obvious, it's easy to have healthy relationships with healthy people, or easier anyway, to have healthy relationships with healthy people. But unfortunately, we live in a world that's not so full of healthy people, so it's not always convenient to have relationships with people because they're not so healthy. So I've got four things here, and it's really interesting. Alice and I did not talk at all about what her opening comments were going to be. When you were talking, I was thinking, okay, she'd been looking at my notes because it was spot on with what's going to be a theme or a thread that goes through this whole thing tonight, and that is when we're talking about anything in recovery, but especially relationships, we have to learn to trust the slow work of grace. The slow work of grace. Grace is not the stuff, winning the lottery, getting the instant promotion, all the things that we would like to call grace, the pleasantries that come our way. If it was a steady stream of them, you know what? We'd get spoiled sick and they wouldn't be special anymore. You know what? That's what humans do when the goodies keep flowing our way. Grace is present during the fun times, and grace is present during the not fun times, but it's slowly doing its work. So we learn to trust the slow work of grace. Put whatever you want it, the slow work of mercy, the slow work of love, the slow work of God, the slow work of you. But this thing we're on it's a pathway. That's our logo. It's a pathway. And it's the slow work. Sometimes you run, sometimes you skip, sometimes you walk, sometimes you crawl. Sometimes you claw your way along. Sometimes you grab hold of a tree so you don't fall backwards. That's just the way this is. It's the slow work of grace. So every point we're going to make tonight is kind of going to go back to the slow work of grace. So relational self-care, let's get started. The first point to talk about tonight, I think, which may should be on down there, but we're going to start with it anyway. Know who you can trust. Know who you can trust. There's probably going to only be a handful of people in your life. And maybe I'm underestimating this, and if I am, shame on me. But anyway, there probably only going to be a handful of people, maybe five people. I don't know. I think you're lucky if you get five people who know your whole story, your entire story. That it doesn't just include the events, but you've told them the way you felt about the events. You've told them about the dark feelings in your heart. You've told them about the desires that you're not proud of. You've told them all the stuff inside you. And those people adore you. They know everything about you, and they adore you. They don't just tolerate you. They adore you. Hang on to those people, because those are few and far between. They don't happen every day. If you are married to one, wow, that is super cool. You are double, triple, quadruple blessed to be married to somebody. Robbie and I are going to go on just in a few days, literally a few days, we're going to go on 32 years of marriage. And, yeah. And we didn't know it early on, but we have discovered that only in the past 4, 5, 6 years have we really learned to trust each other. Now, I was afraid she was going to cheat on me. When you say trust, that's what you think. No, never. That's not what I mean by trust. Can I trust her? Okay, so I'll just get full disclosure, okay? We were driving the other day and deep in conversation, and I asked her, I said, I've never asked you this question before. And I broke down. I was weeping. And I said, do you know the little boy in me? And do you accept the little boy in me? And she said, yes, I do. I know him, and I accept him, and I love him. And I thought, wow, that was like this enormous new breakthrough in our relationship, to take that next step of trust. Ladies, if you don't understand, all men have a little boy in them. We're not allowed to show it. The world tells us we're not allowed to show it. But we all have a little boy in us. And ladies, you all have a little girl in you. This is just the way we're made. We never outgrow that little boy and that little girl. And you don't need to be ashamed of that little boy or that little girl. And you don't need to run off that little boy or that little girl or try to destroy them. They are part of your story. They are part of who you are. And the more you embrace them and the more you understand them, the healthier you get. And if you have somebody in your life who loves and embraces that little boy and that little girl, you are blessed. Deeply, deeply blessed. I am a blessed man to be married to Robbie. Blessed. And this is not arrogant. She would tell you the same thing. Can I get an amen? Just want to make sure. I'll pay you later. So, if you have those people in your life who know who you are, not just what you did, but who you are from stem to stern, start to finish, who know you and your story and your feelings and your thoughts and your desires and your dreams and your fears and everything, and they say, I adore you. Those are the people you can trust. This is the slow work of grace. And that's not a cop-out. I thought about that. I thought about some people don't have that. And I thought, this is the slow work of grace, that God brings people into our lives. And you start to realize, this may be somebody I can trust. And so you enter into that relationship. And dare I say this? When it happens, you both know. Both people know. I thought that could only happen with one person in your life. And so I had that with Wayne. I knew we were developing something deeper all the time, but I had that with Wayne, and he was my brother. And I thought, what happens when he dies? I've lost it. And just in the last 6 months, I have realized God has brought a handful of people into my life. Several are in this room right now. A handful of people into my life who this kind of relationship is developing. It's the slow work of grace, where you slowly trust that person and they trust you. And I want to say this so carefully. I want to say it so carefully. If, boy, I'm treading on thin ice here, but I'm going to say it. If you're a man who struggles with a lot of lust and you struggle with a lot of sexual energy, you do not need to seek this in a woman. It's dangerous. If you realize that you have sexual predator tendencies inside of you, you may not be a rapist, you may not anything like that, but you know you have those tendencies, stay away from that. But if you don't, if you can have healthy relationships with women, I'm finding it's healthy to have this kind of relationship with women, not just your wife, but women who you can have this healthy relationship minus the sexual tension. And that's thin ice, I know it is, but I think if anywhere we can talk about it, we can talk about it here. And women, if you want to have a friend, a close heart kin friend with a man, you make sure that they're not some sort of a sexual predator or that they don't have sexual agendas going on. You can sense the energy. You can pick that up. But I think it's healthy if you're going to find people to trust, not just to pick people of your own gender, that to pick other people as well. But it's, I don't know how to emphasize this enough. Let grace do its slow work. Take time. It took years before I trusted Wayne with my story. Years and years. And now I'm finding I have other people who I've been friends with for years, and I'm thinking, you know what? Little bits and pieces, they've heard my story, and they still love me. Wow. Where Wayne left, he's gone. That void is being filled with like 5-6 other people. I'm thinking, I didn't see that one coming. Didn't see that one coming. It's pretty cool. Not cool that he left, but cool. What God was cooking up all this time, didn't see it. Trust the slow work of grace, but know who you can trust. Know that only a few people will know your story and love you vehemently, passionately. Never throw you under the bus. That's the first point. Here's the second thing about healthy relationship, relational self-care. Love the person in front of you. You've heard that over and over and over. Wayne said it a bunch of times. I've said it forever. Love the person in front of you, but only as much as they will allow you to. You cannot force your love on somebody, and you cannot force them to respond any way to your love. If you're going to love them, they're going to respond however they respond to it. To have it be real love, there are no conditions. Once it leaves your hands, it's up to them what they're going to do with love. If it's not, then it's not love. It's a business deal. But if you're going to love somebody, you give them that love. You give them the generosity, the grace, the kindness, the time, the listening ear. You give that to them, and then you watch how they respond. And some people will trample your pearls underfoot, just like Jesus talked about. They will trample them underfoot, and after a while you realize, I can't love them that way. I will love them as much as they let me love them, but I cannot love them that way, so I'm going to have to back off a little bit. I still love them. I still care about them, but I'm going to have to monitor the way I be a little more careful. You love them as much as they'll let you. You meet them where they are. And you learn, I think the more you relate to people in a healthy way, the more you learn to kind of identify different levels of intimacy and vulnerability that you can have with people. I don't know if you need to put numbers on it. I don't need, you know, assign fruits, whatever you want to do. I kind of look at it as a bullseye, you know, like the old archery bullseyes with circles, and you love them on the outside circle first. They respond to that love, so you go to the next level, the next level, and so you finally get down to this level of, I can totally be myself, and they can totally be themselves, and we trust each other. But not everybody will let you love them at that level, so you love them at whatever level, but we never stop loving people. People are not too inconvenient to love. Nobody's too inconvenient, or surly, or ugly or rude or whatever. Nobody is too off-putting to love. We love everybody because they're humans. They have God's DNA in them. So we love them But we love them as much as they'll let us. And here again, you trust the slow work of grace. I had somebody, this was several summers ago, I had somebody that I was talking to, and I said, all I want to do these days is just love the person in front of me. And they said, well, you do this so you can lead them to Christ, right? And I was like, no, I don't have any agenda. And they said, well, what's the point then? And I was like, come again? I said, what did you just say? And my old days, I would have said that. But now I think, what? I love people so that I can get them to respond some way or get them to cooperate with some kind of agenda. You know, and maybe you're here thinking, well, yeah, you love them so you can lead them to Christ, right? You love them because they're a human being. And you love them because that's who you are. I'm a person who loves people. And you love them because you respect them as a human. You love them because you value them as a human. What they do with that love is up to them. It's not up to you. You don't go into it with any kind of agenda. For one, they'll smell that rat a mile away. You know, this guy's got an agenda. This guy's got a plan for me. He's a salesman. I mean, I'm being kind of ugly here, but that's just what they see. But when you love people with a genuine love that says, how can I enhance your life? How can I encourage you? How can I help you be the person you want to be? That's it. That's as far as my agenda goes. That's it. Just to love you. Let that be what it is. Let the slow work of grace do what it's going to do. That's not my business. That's not my agenda. It's not my business. It's not in my mind. It's not the way I think. And actually, loving the person in front of you is a pretty beautiful thing. It's a pretty heavenly thing. So anyway, love the person in front of you as much as they'll let you, and trust the slow work of grace. You can't rush it. I rarely have a show of hands, but this is not something you'll be proud or ashamed of either way. Have we got anybody that's seen the Mr. Rogers movie? We got several? Okay. I loved it. I mean, it just blew me away. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry? Mr. Rogers. Yeah, Mr. Rogers. It's all about, you know, the guy who was on PBS. If you saw the movie, you know it wasn't just all about him. It was about another guy he's working with. The guy is aggressive. Not Mr. Rogers. The guy he's working with is aggressive. He's got a bone to pick. He's got some vengeance in his heart. He's got a lot of anger and a lot of hatred. And to watch Tom Hanks, and he nails Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks could play a Martian and do it well. He could play whatever he wants. He could play a racehorse. He could play a race car. He could play anything. But he's such an actor. But the way he plays Mr. Rogers, this guy tries to hit him with as much of a verbal barrage as you can ever imagine. I'm gonna be so off-putting, so bullyish, so mean-spirited that I'm gonna run you off. And every time Mr. Rogers just stops and lets the room breathe. There's just this uncomfortable, awkward silence. And at this one point in the movie, I don't want to give the movie away, but at this one point, this guy is making his point that you know, that he was treated unjustly and he demanded, you know, blah, blah, blah. And again, Mr. Rogers just let this long moment breathe. And he said, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but he said, I can see that you're a man of strong conviction and that you feel what you feel passionately, and I admire that. And I thought, oh my, why didn't I ever think of that? That when people attack you with, I deserve this, and I have the right to hate that person. I have the right to get revenge. Instead of us, no, you don't. You know, instead of us quoting some scripture, instead of us going all religious on them or going, instead affirm something in what they just said. And that's what he did. He affirmed it. He said, I can see you're a person of strong conviction or strong. If y'all can remember the word, you can tell me. It was something like that. And I thought, so if somebody hits you with this radical political statement, radical racial statement, radical hate statement, whatever it is, you know, they hit you with this statement, instead of flaring back, instead of, let me give you the alternative view, I'm going to get you, you know, what would happen if we would just say, you're a fascinating person. That is a fascinating thing. You feel strongly about that. I respect that. I really respect your conviction about this. And at one point, I think I had this right, Mr. Rogers asked the guy, he said, when is the first time you were angry? He just asked him, he said, when is the first time you were angry? I thought, why didn't I think of that? You know, I had idea envy all through the movie. It's like, shoot, I wish I'd have thought of that. But this way of treating people with absolute and utter respect, no matter how ugly they try to be, no matter how mean they try to be, no matter how rude they try to be, is just to say, I respect you as a human being, and I'm going to find something in what you just said that I can compliment. I'm going to say something positive about you right now. And it never was said in the movie, but what you're really saying is, I'm going to trust the slow work of grace. I'm going to trust that me being gracious to you is going to help unlock some stuff inside of you and help you realize the person you are and the person you can be. The end of the movie, the slow work of grace worked. Just saying. I just kind of gave it away, but anyway. It worked. So, I don't know, that may not be a theme you want to use, but to me, I want to have that in my mind all the time. When I'm faced with toxic people, I want to go Mr. Rogers on them. That's what I want to do. I want to go Mr. Rogers on them. I'm telling myself that. Here's the fourth thing. If you want to have relational self-care, and this just gets personal. This gets right down to where we live. Take nothing personally. Period. Take nothing personally. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. Because we have people all over the room saying, you say. Yeah, anybody taking notes is like, nah, I'm not writing that one down. I'm not writing that one down. Life's not all about me, you know, it's just not. The quality of my life is not based on everybody liking me all the time, or everybody agreeing with me all the time, or everybody having me on their mind all the time. I'm not the center of everybody's agenda. Sorry. I'm not. The truth of the matter is I'm part of something way bigger than me. I'm part of the slow work of grace. I'm part of that river that's flowing of grace. And so is everybody else. And it's there are no stumps sticking up in the middle of the river where I can crawl up and say, it's all about me. That's what this river is. It's all about me. It's not. It's not. And so, you know, I've kind of gotten to the place where I don't really, there's sometimes it does, but a lot of times when somebody will flatter me, it's like, I don't really take that personally. When somebody will criticize me, it's like, I don't really take that personally. Have you ever thought about the shelf life of flattery? Okay, so 10 o'clock at night, somebody calls you up and says, you are the best thing that ever happened in the world. Of all human beings, you are the best thing that ever happened. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You are the most wise man I've ever known. Blah, 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 blah. Dang, you go to bed high. You're floating. You have just injected, mainlined in both arms. I am the best. I am the king of the world. I'm the queen of the world. And you wake up the very next morning and say, shit. The shelf life on that compliment is that long. That's how long it lasts. So you have to, if life is all about me, I have to constantly seek affirmation. Because the shelf life, it's like a drug. You shoot it up, but it doesn't even last as long as a lot of drugs. It just doesn't last. It's gone. I need more. Please give me more. Somebody else tell me I'm pretty, I'm good, I'm smart, I'm the best. Somebody affirm me. Please, please, please. You know, the shelf life on flattery is just almost nil. The problem is the shelf life on criticism, it goes a lifetime. Yeah, it'll last a whole lifetime. We were talking the other day, we were driving, and I said, and I just made up a scenario. It didn't happen. I just made it up. I said, so suppose your daddy told you you were beautiful 500 times, and he told you were ugly one time. What would you remember? Isn't that wild? Our minds cling to this stuff. For some reason. So at some point we have to say, this is not a healthy way to live life. Looking for flattery or avoiding criticism. Either way, this is not a health. Okay, so what if it's not about me? And so that's kind of where you have to come out, is to realize, if I'm going to have healthy relationships, I'm going to have to realize that the flattery and the criticism, neither one are really about me. People who flatter you generally are looking for something. Sorry. They're expecting some sort of payback. People who are criticizing you probably have a thorn in their foot. It's about the thorn. It's not about you. You know, you're the closest dog to kick. Sorry for dog owners. I realize they have people who love their dogs. That's just a term. You become the closest cat. No, people like cats too. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. You just become the closest thing to kick, to take the anger out on. So it's not, the flattery is really not about you. It's probably about them. And the criticism is probably not about you. It's probably about them. So we need to just get over this. We just need to realize, don't take anything personally. Let people be horses, hinds, ends if they want to be, you know? And let them be politicians if they want to be. Glad handing everybody and kissing the babies trying to get votes, you know? You're so pretty, you're so smart, you're the best thing ever. Let them be horses, hinds, ends. Let them be politicians. They're that way to everybody. It's not about you. They're that way to everybody. So don't take it personally. Just let them be the way they are. So here's the last thing. What time are we looking at? Okay, 6 feet. All right, I'm about done. I always think that I come up with really good statements at the end, and I never know if they are. Please act like this is a good one. I need your affirmation. Yeah, please flatter me, please. Please. I'll vote for you, I promise I will. Just flatter me. Hold on, just a second. Hold on. Life is not about you and your ego. People have more on their mind than how they feel about you. So life is not about you and your ego. People have more on their mind than how they feel about you. So that's not nearly as profound as it was when I wrote it. I think my computer deleted something there. I don't know. Anyway, that's what I got. And... we're going to have fun next week, right, Karen?